Now, you said this before, Farmer Greg. When you're growing whatever, a vegetable, a tree, a vine.
Whatever you're growing.
That you're really not a grower. You're a soil cultivator.
Yeah. Yeah, so really the success of your garden, of your trees, of everything you're growing really is based on your soil. And I'm not talking about the dirt that you have in your backyard. Healthy soil has five components, and dirt is one of them. Dirt is the broken down rock. It's usually highly compacted. Kari Spencer tells a funny story. When she first started gardening a couple of decades ago, she went out in her backyard and dug up some of the dirt out of the backyard and put it in pots and tried to grow stuff. It didn't work. It didn't work. So our jobs...
When you say walk your neighborhood and observe, you can out west of Phoenix on 10, that stretch where there's only creosote growing for miles.
Mm-hmm.
If other things could grow there, it would.
It would.
There's a reason only creosote and grow.
Yeah, well, and according to Emily down at Tank's Green Stuff, down in Tucson, we have less than 1% organic matter in our soils in the desert. That's a problem. So if you're trying to grow in that, good luck. It's not going to work. So you need to become, as you mentioned a moment ago, a cultivator of healthy soils. So real quickly, and you don't need to write this down, but there's five components of healthy soil because, and I'll go over them, but there's a real easy fix.
Okay.
And that's what you really need to know is what the fix is. So five components of healthy soil are dirt, airspace, water, organic matter, and everything that's alive in the soil. And when you get a good mix of all five of those, you're going to, you know, you're going to be a lot more successful growing food. So the quick fix is add organic matter, add compost, add planting mix, add healthy soil to get your soil healthy.
And composting can be a science of its own, but
oh
it's fairly
gosh, yes.
simple because even a messed up compost
is
better than nothing.
Matter. That's right. It's organic matter. Here's what I often will tell people to do. If you have a garden bed and it's on the right exposure, so on an eastern exposure, southern exposure, maybe a western exposure, and there's no Bermuda or nutgrass growing in it, that's a key piece because if you plant a garden in Bermuda and nutgrass, the Bermuda and nutgrass is going to take over your garden. That's a whole conversation itself. We should talk about that at some other time, how to get rid of it. But the short answer is you have to dig it out. So if you have a garden bed, there's no Bermuda and nutgrass in it. Often what I will do is add 3 to 6 inches of a good planting mix or compost right on top, and I'll plant right in that. And what happens is at the interface between the compost and the dirt, your dirt, once it gets wet, the activity starts in it and it'll loosen up. I don't care how hard it is. It'll eventually loosen up. And the roots of the plants you're growing are going to do the digging for you. So just simply by adding 4 to 6 inches of organic matter right on top of your garden bed and planting, you're going to save your back. It's going to be a lot easier, and you're going to let the plants do the work. So that'll help.
You may not get carrots your first year. Not very long ones.
And you'd be surprised. You'd actually be surprised. My friend Steve called me a few years ago and said, Jan wants a garden. Steve's a longtime family friend. East side, so it's in eastern exposure. There was no Bermuda nutgrass. I went in, and in 45 minutes, I added 6 inches of planting mix, and we planted. And we planted fall crops. So we were planting snow peas and carrots and beets and that kind of stuff. And she got an amazing garden. So what really counts is the quality of the soil you're adding on top. And then what happens over time, because I'm in my front yard at the urban farm, I've been doing this process for probably the entire time I've been there, 30 years, 29 years. The soil works its way down. The healthy soil works its way down. So in my front beds at the urban farm, when I dig down, I've got nice healthy soil down 18 inches. Because what's happened over the past 28 years, 29 years is the roots have done the work. The you know, it's gotten mixed, and it just builds healthy soil over time.
And each year it just gets better than the year before on the soil.
Exactly. It gets better than the year before.
So on a healthy soil, are you adding a lot of fertilizers? You walk through nurseries and garden centers, and there's...
every fertilizer.
Like, oh, there's a one special for tomatoes, one special for this. And
what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do? So here's the thing. According to Elaine Ingham, she's a world-renowned soil scientist. If you have healthy, balanced soil, remember I said the fifth component of healthy soil was everything that's alive in the soil, the microorganisms, the fungi, the bacteria, so on and so on. Those, if the soil is really healthy, those are actually mining the nutrients out of the soil that you have there so that the plants can thrive. So in theory, if you do it exactly right,
that is your fertilizer.
That is your fertilizer. Now, we're in the desert. You know, that's challenging.
We have jobs. We have kids. We've got schedules.
Exactly. Exactly. So I do use a nice organic fertilizer when we plant our trees and when we plant our gardens. I also use azomite, which is a micronutrient. So when we're talking fertilizers, there's macronutrients, which is your NPK, which is most fertilizers, and then there's micronutrients. And it's the micronutrients that when it's added to your soil, it brings flavor to your food. So you want to make sure, and I add azomite to my soil to bring those micronutrients into, you know, into play.
Azomite.
Azomite. Azomite. Yeah.
And where do you get azomite?
Well, you can get it at our pop-up nursery.
Mine somewhere?
Yeah, in Utah, there's an azomite mine. Exactly. You can get it at our nursery, our pop-up nursery, which will be open in October and November. And then at the tree event, the you know our fruit tree pop-up nursery that will happen in January and February, we have it available there. You know, I've seen it available in some local nurseries. You know, you might check Barry's Hardware at 12th Street and Northern. He might have it. If he doesn't, he will, because he's starting to carry all the stuff I say that we need to carry.
So he's listening, too.
He's listening, too. Exactly.
Listen and grow. So azomite, and what is it something you add in a mix? Is it something you could put on the top soil?
You just put it on top. It's a granular thing. You put it on top. It breaks down when the water hits it and kind of seeps in.
All right, so now when we're talking soil growing, you've got a point here about lasagna gardening.
Oh, yeah.
So is that planting enough different varieties that you can make a lasagna?
Well, that's one way of doing it. Yeah, that's not what we're talking about here, though. There's actually a book out on the market called Lasagna Gardening. In permaculture, we call it sheet mulching, like your bed sheets. And basically what we do in lasagna or sheet mulching is you put down layers of organic matter, like lasagna, and over time it composts in place, it cold composts in place, and you can, that's a fairly quick way to make soil. So you put a layer of browns, maybe 6-inch thick layer of leaves that you collected from the neighborhood, and then put some manure or fertilizer on top of that just a little bit, and then another layer, and then another layer of fertilizer, and so on and so on. And I've actually sheet mulched 24 to 36 inches deep before.
Wow.
And what happens over time, it's this light, fluffy stuff. And what happens over, you know, the course of the next 6 months, it breaks down to 2 inches of really nice, healthy soil. So that's your lasagna gardening.
That 24 inches doesn't stay that depth very long.
Right, exactly. You know, one thing I noticed that we haven't touched on yet is when to plant. Something really important that you need to know is, you know, what do you plant when? And where do you get stuff to plant? We have, you know, I was at, in March or April, I was at one of the big box stores, and over 50% of the things that they were selling were not climate appropriate, so they would never make food here, or they weren't season appropriate. And season appropriate means you're planting them at the right time. You don't want to plant broccoli in March. It's not going to do anything. You don't want to plant watermelons in October.
I don't want to plant broccoli any time of the year.
Oh, there you go. Hey, it's one of my favorite things. So I actually created a planting calendar. You can find it at plantingcalendar.org. That's plantingcalendar.org. Just go there, download it. It's free. As an added bonus, you're going to get put on my email list for all of our local cool events, which I'm going to tell you about one that's coming up, two of them that are coming up next weekend. But making sure that you know what to plant when, and don't trust the nurseries. You've got to do your own research. This is where growing food in the desert is a great big grand experiment. Oh, and the tags on the plants, full sun doesn't mean Phoenix full sun. So, you know, we have to adjust for the fact that it's hot as blazes in the summertime, and, you know, things cook for about 4 months a year here.
This is true. And most of those big grafters and growers, they're coming out of California. They're mm-hmm. coming out of North Carolina, Washington. Full sun in Northern California is a whole lot different. And, you know, Phoenix, when you're looking at the size of in Arizona, the U.S., it's a small portion of the country.
Yep.
So, you know, they are growing and for the masses, which, you know, makes sense.
Yeah.
You
know, you just have to be a conscious
shopper.
We're a very
unique environment. And you had mentioned Phoenix. Well, we're 100 miles away from 9,000 feet elevation and Flagstaff.
Flagstaff. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, and one of the better places to grow, for those of you that are listening in the Verde Valley area, that is a great place to grow. It's much more climate temperate than we are here. So,
and in a pretty area.
Oh, and a beautiful area.
River running year round.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that is a golden spot of the state.
Yeah.
I like the Verde Valley. If it wasn't for I-17.
Right. If it wasn't that I was planted so solidly here for 51 years and Heidi for 47 years, that's probably where I'd be moving.
Oh, there's a pecan orchard there.
Oh, yeah.
That's
stunning.
Right up to the riverbed.
Mm-hmm.
You can, one of the fun things to do is take a kayak. And, you know, it takes two people because
mm-hmm.
you can put one vehicle at the pickup point at the end
mm-hmm.
and then drive everyone back to
the top.
Yep. Put in, kill an hour, a couple hours, or I'd say an hour, kill the day, just gradually going through Camp Verde. And we've taken that, you got to know the get out point, because if you miss it, you're down at Horseshoe Lake 4 days later.
Oh.
So you got to be prepared, and you got to know your takeout point. But that's a great area to kayak and canoe.
Yeah.
The Verde Valley. Yeah, you got me sidetracked here.
There you go.
All right, we got one segment left here in the Outdoor Living Hour. We're talking about edible landscapes as we're going into the premier planting season for Arizona for anywhere below the rim. Here, and we've got a couple calls we'll get to right after this here at Rosie on the House.